We're just rehearsing. We're just rehearsing. Amen. Songwriter said there's going to be shouting on the hills of glory. Hallelujah. And all we're doing is practicing, amen, for that great day. Now, if anyone feels nervous or uncomfortable in this kind of atmosphere, you're going to be nervous and uncomfortable up there. Because there's going to be some hand clapping up there. There's going to be some shouting up there. There's going to be some praise. Hallelujah. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Hallelujah. So we're just getting ready. Now, I wonder if anyone knows what time it is. Because I don't have a watch. Now, the Apostle Paul told us what time it is. Paul said, it's high time. It's high time to awake out of your sleep. Because our salvation is nearer than what you believe. Look at somebody and say, it's closer than you think. Amen. And for someone here today that's going through, someone here today that's under the pressure, someone here today that's struggling, I've got some good news for you. The Apostle Paul said, comfort one another with these words. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, everything you've gone through, everything you've been worried about, everything you've been struggling with, it's all going to be over. It's all going to be over. Hallelujah. Because it's closer than you think. And I just feel impressed in the Holy Ghost today to remind us one more time that we're not here wasting time. We're not here in vain because it's closer than you think. Praise the Lord. So what I'd like for us to do, and oh, Pastor, thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to be here. I've been wanting to get here for the longest time. And y'all have to pray for me because when I get home, I'm going to be in trouble. Because Sister Easter wanted to be here so bad. She's one of the biggest fans of this choir. She said, don't tell me, you're going to be, I can't believe you. I mean, she just gave me all kinds of fits. But anyway, amen. We'll try to come back again and bring her because she really loves this church. Amen. Praise God. So I want to invite you to go with me to the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea. And the 6th chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hosea chapter 6. Somebody say it's closer than you think. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus would come back today? It could happen. All the prophecies that precedes his return, they come to pass. I believe the next thing on God's agenda is the taking up of the church. And it could happen today. Amen. Hosea chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. And you thought it was the devil. And he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. He shall come unto us. And I imagine in this hour, the question most people ask is, Lord, when are you coming back? I believe I have the answer. In verse 2, the first three words, after 2 days, after 2 days, you better get ready. You better get ready. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your presence, your power, your spirit is in this house. Father, open our eyes, open our spirits, our hearts. Help us to receive you today. Speak into us, Lord, things we've never heard before. Bring us revelation and light. But most of all, Father, I pray that you will not allow one person to leave this place the same way they came in. But work on us now, we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus. And let the church say, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cast all past, home at last, forever to rejoice. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm gonna be sailing far beyond the sky. And you know what? When I get there, I'm not going to fold my arms. I'm not going to cross my legs. I'm going to shout. And I'm going to sing. Until the heavens ring. When I'm bidding this world bye-bye. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody say it won't be long. Say it's closer than you think. When is Jesus coming back? I know when he's coming back. After 2 days. Preachers have been preaching. Jesus is coming. We sang songs about it. Jesus is coming. We have been watching for a long time. Jesus is coming. He ain't come yet. But that don't mean he ain't coming. Because I'm more convinced today than I was yesterday that we are the end time generation. For the time is upon us. If there's ever a time to live for Jesus, you better make up your mind. Now is that time. If there's ever a time to be a soul winner, you better get on the field, because now is that time. If there's ever a time that we as a church have got to pray, this is that time. Hallelujah. After 2 days. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke a lot in parables, whereas the multitudes, when he spoke, a lot of them left him confused. A lot of people left him wondering, what was he talking about? What did he mean? And Jesus did that on purpose. But there was a lot of people, because they didn't quite get it, walked away from him. But those that stuck around, those that hung around, they were the ones that were privy to his personal revelations. And sometimes it's that way even when you read the Bible. Sometimes you'll read things in the Bible, you won't understand it. Sometimes you'll look at things in the Bible and you just don't get it. But if you just hang around a while. Oh, in the evening, in the dark plots. Amen. When you're on the edge of your bed and the Spirit of the Lord walks into your room and God begins to bring revelation to that word into your spirit. Oh, that night, I'll never forget it. After I read this verse, I didn't quite see it the way the Lord began to show it to me. I looked at it closely and he said, after 2 days, will he revive us? And I got to thinking, Lord, what do you mean 2 days? And it began to dawn on me. And I know there are Bible students in this sanctuary right now. There are those of you that know your word. So let me give you a quick quiz. You ready? Y'all act like y'all ready. Anybody over here ready? I'm going to give you a quick quiz. According to the scripture, one day with the Lord is as, and 1,000 years is as, 1,000 years, one day. One day, 1,000 years. Now let's do some math. If one day is equal to 1,000 years, how many years are 2 days after 2 days? I will revive my church. If you would ask the Lord, Lord, what have you been doing the last 2,000 years? He would say, I've been reviving my church. Because you know he only has one church. Amen? There are not all different types of churches. There are not all kinds of denominations. There are not all kinds of ways you can get saved. There is only one Lord, and there's only one faith, and there's only one baptism. There's only one God. There's only one church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Hallelujah. The church didn't always exist. Throughout the Old Testament, there was no church. When you go to the New Testament and examine the scriptures, you'll find no church established through the Gospels. Jesus spoke of the church to come. When you look at the epistles and the letters of Romans all the way to Revelation, there was no church formed. These were letters written to the church. There's only one place in the Bible where you can find the beginning, the birth, the origin, the first day of the church. And it's found in the history book of the New Testament, the book of Acts. Second chapter. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the first day of church. Holy Ghost poured into that place. It filled the whole room where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's church. That's church. You ain't been to church till you've been to a Holy Ghost church. You ain't been to church till you've been to an apostolic church. That's church. It was exciting. It was on fire. Hallelujah. God established his church. Man, I tell you what. When the Holy Ghost moves into a church, you can't limit it. You can't control it. You can't put it on a schedule. When the Holy Ghost blows in, you gotta let it be loose to do whatever it wants to do, however he wants to do it. That's the first day of church. They were speaking in other tongues. It was a phenomenon. This had never happened before. And man, I tell you, when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to ask nobody what's wrong with them. You don't have to wonder what's wrong with them. You can look at them and tell something wrong with them. Because you just don't act like that in church. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you can't be responsible for what you might do, what you might say. Woo! My Lord have mercy. When the Spirit moves into a service, this would happen on the first day of church. I guarantee you won't nobody sleeping in that service. I guarantee you won't nobody texting their friends in that service. I guarantee you won't nobody looking for a way out in that service. Glory to God. Man, the Holy Ghost got the flowing. People started shouting and dancing. And when it gets that good, it's hard to keep it inside. You can't keep nothing this good inside. This thing is bigger than the walls that surround us. And friend, when those folks on that day had that experience, I could just see it in my mind. I see them shouting and dancing and busting out the doors of the upper room. Outside, on the balcony of the upper room, having church. Now, around about the noon hour, other churches were letting out. Folks was in their cars trying to get to the Cracker Barrel and get the Wendy's and Applebee's. And, you know, they driving along and all of a sudden they come past the upper room. They still having service. They looked out and said, what is going on? They still having church. But wait a minute. Something's amiss. They pull their cars over. Line upon line, they getting out their cars. What's going on? Lord have mercy. Look at those people up there. That's church. We don't have church like that at our church. What church you go to? First Church of the Frigidaire. We don't do that at our church. Friend, if you don't do what we do, you need to change your church and come to where the fire is. Come to where there's power. Come to where there's light. Hallelujah. Woo. Those folks started gathering around. They was like, man, we've never seen it like that. Look at that woman crying and laughing at the same time. And look at that man over there, necktie all messed up, shirt tail hanging out. People acting like that in church. Oh, that ain't nothing. Look, They got running, and ain't nobody chasing them. What's the? Lord, anything can happen in a service like this. Anything can happen in a service like this. They were confounded. They were surprised. They were amazed as the crowd continued to gather watching these Pentecostals. And then somebody said, I know what that is. I know what's going on. What's happening? See? Them people drunk. Those people are drunk. Then that great apostle Peter, he caught wind of it. He heard it. Peter said, hold up a second. Let me straighten this out real quick. Without a microphone, without a PA system, without an organ, without a drummer, Peter just opened up his mouth and the anointing. Peter said, ye men of Judea and all you out of town guests, gather around. Let me tell you what's going on. He said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. I'm glad he didn't just say they're not drunk. He said, they're not drunk as you suppose. In other words, they are drunk. But that ain't Budweiser making them act like that. That ain't Jim Beam making them act like that. That ain't cocaine making them act. No, sir. This is that which was prophesied. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what keeps you alive. It's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. That makes all the difference. It brings you liberty. Amen. I believe that Atlanta West ought to be the noisiest church in town. It ought to be the most exciting church in town. Hallelujah. Because the word is already out in the streets. They're talking about you. They talking about you. Oh, Brother Easter, we got to be careful. We got visitors. Yes, we do have visitors. But they not in a Methodist church today. They are not in a Catholic church today. They are not in the Baptist church today. They are in a one God, apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, baptized in Jesus' name church. They looking for this. They want this. They desire this. We got nothing to be ashamed of. We got nothing to be. People want what we got. They're looking for what we got. These are not drunk as you get drunk. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, amen, when this service is over, it's not my fault. I will pour. If you don't have your healing the way God promised you, it's not God's fault. I will pour out my spirit. You know God is pouring it out. Can you feel it right now? Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, they were having church. And it attracted the multitudes. Peter preached under such anointing that it cut right into their hearts. See, I don't ever want to go to church and not feel something. Amen. That word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. If you feel uncomfortable, that's good. When you squirming in your seat and you breaking out in a sweat and you saying, why that preacher staring at me? That ain't the preacher, that's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God that you can feel something. Thank God that you can sense something moving. And Peter began to preach a powerful message. I believe he titled it, Save Yourself. Boy, he brought it home. And friend, when he got to the end of his message, folks couldn't stand it. They said, look, man, tell us what we need to do. Man and brother, what shall we do? Peter stood up without fear and without favor. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? People said, I don't have to do all that. No, they didn't say that. People today say that. It don't take all that. Well, I just feel in my heart. No, no, no. When they heard the word, they that gladly. You got to have the right attitude to get this. You got to have the right. You ought to be glad I showed up. No, 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 no. Somebody else going to take your seat. Somebody else going to take. No, it ain't about you. It's not about how you feel. I'm glad somebody told me. I'm glad somebody preached this to me. When they gladly received, didn't fight with the preacher. Didn't sit there and say, who you to judge? No, their feelings got hurt, but they were glad about it. I'm glad somebody gonna point me in the right direction. I'm glad somebody gonna tell me you're a sinner. I'm glad somebody say you on your way to hell. Tell me what I need to do. They gladly received the word. And that same day, they were added unto them. About 3,000 souls. First day of church. Man, this thing is hot. This thing is smoking. The word began to spread throughout the town. Man, y'all got to come to my church. You got to come to my church. I'm telling you what, you ain't been to church till you've been to my church. Folks started coming. Then the Bible says 5,000 were converted. It kept growing. You couldn't stop it. You can't stop this. It just kept on growing and kept growing. Then the Bible says a multitude of men and women. And then it was like the writer said, forget counting. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. You couldn't stop it. It was on fire. It was taking over the city. And when you have revival, when you have a move of God, you will get the devil's attention. Oh, yes. Amen. You're going to get his attention. You might as well write it down. You might as well expect it. When you start praying, you're going to get the devil's attention. When you start bringing people to church, you're going to get the devil's attention. Now, I know there's some folks, they say, well, see, that's why I don't pray. Why? If you don't mess with the devil, he won't mess with you. Amen. But we ain't got to be scared of the devil. You know what worries me? Christians that don't have no problems, they worry me. You don't have no problems. You don't have no issues. You don't have no headaches. Something wrong with you. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to know there's warfare going on. You're going to know there's some opposition going on. Don't you be scared of the devil. Greater is he that is in you. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on having a move of God. Hallelujah. So the devil got disturbed. And I see that old serpent having a group meeting with his little imps. Gather around, boys. Gather around. Yes, master. Looks like we got some trouble. What is it, master? Them Jesus name folks causing us a lot of headache. What we're going to do is we're going to bring them persecution. And we're going to throw them in jail. And we're going to command them never to teach in that name. And don't preach in that name. And certainly don't baptize in that name. Because if they do, we're going to make them pay. See, what the devil didn't know is we don't really pray until we get in trouble. You ain't seen nobody pray until they're in trouble. You ain't seen nobody pray until they're about to lose their home or their baby's about to be hurt. You ain't seen nobody pray until the clouds are dark and the night is long. My God, you know you don't pray like you can pray until you in trouble. The more they went to prison, the harder they prayed. The more they got whipped, the harder they prayed. And when they got out of jail, they went right back to teaching Bible studies, went right back to door knocking, went right back. And what the devil noticed was the more he came against the church, the more the church spread out. He was like, time for another meeting, boys. Yes, master. Yes, master. Plan A not working. We got to go to plan B. What's that, master? If you can't beat them. So the devil got religious. He put on his robe. He put on his high hat. He walked around with a Bible in his hands. And he offered the multitudes easy salvation. You don't have to be crucified. Why, if you just worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You don't have to be holy. Go ahead and take a drink. Nobody's perfect. Come on to my church. Amen. God loves you. Easy salvation. You don't have to change. Just come to church. Be a good person. God loves you. And people begin to run to the false churches, offering easy salvation. Easy living, no crucifixion, no sacrifice, no holiness. Just come on and live your life how you want to live. God understands. And man, those false lying churches begin to grow. They begin to fill up. Multitudes ran in and their influence covered the world. But the church that Jesus built, they went into the catacombs. They went underground. They was meeting in secret places for centuries. And the whole world went into spiritual darkness. They called it the Dark Ages. False religion took its hold. False doctrine came out, flagrantly opposing the word of God, changing the truth of God into a lie, calling things holy, unholy, and things right, they called it wrong. And we're still seeing these forces at work today. But God said, no. I am going to revive my church. How you gonna do it, Lord? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, like a ladder of revelation I'm going to bring to these denominational groups. And suddenly they came out of the woodwork. People's talking and saying, wait a minute, preacher, what you saying is not in the Bible. We don't believe in sprinkling. And a whole new group got started. Amen. Another group said, hold it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Bible says holiness. It's got to be holiness. And they started a movement. And little by little, these different groups got a little more revelation. God, what's happening? He said, after 2,000 years, my church. Okay, Lord, here we are at the late part of the 1800s, something started stirring up. People started reading their Bibles, comparing what was preaching, what the preachers were preaching to the word. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you take that man's word just because he act like he know what he's talking about. I like to say, all loudspeakers are not hooked up. You better make sure what he's saying can be certified in the word of God. Hey, preacher, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the word. Hallelujah. People started reading the Bible. And then toward the end, in the 1800s, somebody was reading about the Holy Ghost. And they started looking and says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hey, man, and they were like, well, we're believers. What's this speaking in tongues? Oh, no, no, darn, don't do that no more. Oh, no, that went out with the apostles. But the Bible says, I know what the Bible said, but. Folks started getting hungry. They started studying what happened. And somebody got the idea. I suppose if we do what they did, we will get what they got. And down into Topeka, Kansas, back up there with the corn husks, them back folks, man, they got to waiting on the Lord, tarrying and praying, just like in Acts chapter 2. And suddenly, the power of God fell on those country folks. They got to speaking in tongues, just like in the Bible. My Lord, this is something else. The word began to spread. The rumors began to spread. And that flame of fire fell in South Central Los Angeles in a place called Azusa Street. They were meeting in a little warehouse. And that fire hit and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in tongues. Then it began to spread back across to the East Coast, from the North to the South, from the East to the West. God was pouring out His Spirit across every denomination, across every culture, and now all around the world. Lord, what's going on? I'm reviving my church. Now, people got the spirit in them that wrote the book. Now they see things differently. Now they're looking in the Bible and they're saying, what? I never see that before. all of a sudden, there's something about that name. There's something about that name. All of the family in heaven and earth is called by that name. Neither is there salvation in any other. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do it all, do everything in the name of Jesus. And folks say, hey, Mr. Preacher, how come we don't baptize in the name of Jesus? That's what they did in the book.
We've been doing this for a long time.
You've been doing it wrong for a long time. Hallelujah. You need to do it the way the Bible says to do it. We are buried with him in baptism. It's got to be in the name. In the name, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the Hallelujah! What's going on? God says, stand back. I'm reviving my church. I'm bringing back my church. How long is it going to take? After 2 days. In the year 2000, God stood back and looked at what he had done. And God could say, in the year 2000, the same church that was established on the day of Pentecost is one of the fastest growing groups in the world. Hallelujah. All over the world, we have people proclaiming there's only one God and his name is Jesus. And you need to repent and be baptized and refilled with the Holy Ghost just like the church did in the book of Acts. His church is in revival. His church is in revival. His church is in revival. Somebody say, God did it. God did it. It's here. Same church, same doctrine, same teachings as they did in the book of Acts. Now I'm about to close. If you would, put that scripture back up for me. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. God, when are you coming back for us? You've revived us. After 2 days, will he revive us? That's already done. In the third day, he will raise us up. When is the rapture? After 2 days. When? In the third day. He's going to raise us up. No, Brother Easton, you put that together. That's a coincidence. Oh, no, it's not. Because if you look at the word, you'll find out that some strange things happen on the third day. And they have one thing in common. On the third day of creation, God looked at the barren earth and he spoke and commanded trees to come and flowers to come and vegetation to come. What's going on? God was causing life to rise up from the earth on the third day. Jonah was in the belly of a great fish. He screamed out on the first day, get me out. God said, nope. On the second day, whatever you want me to do, I promise, whatever you want me to do. God said, nope. But it was early. On the third day, Jonah came up. They put a crown of thorns on his head. they stabbed his side with a spear. And when he took his last breath, they took him down and put him in a stranger's tomb. They put a stone in front of it. They sealed it and they put guards. But early in the morning, on the third day, death couldn't keep him down. Potiphar couldn't keep him down. The kings couldn't keep him down. But on the morning of the third day, he rose up. He rose. Hallelujah. There's something about that third day. Where are we? Where are we? From the year zero to 1,000 one day. From the year 1,001 to the year 2,000, 2 days. We are in 2013. This is the third day. And you're going to sit there and act like you got a whole lot of time. You're going to sit there and act like, oh, no, that's somewhere else. No, sir. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, even today, it's possible Jesus could come. Woo! After 2 days, let's stand together. After 2 days. I know for some people, it sounds far-fetched. I know it sounds like a fairy tale. I know it sounds like something far off in the way, way in the future. But I'm telling you, folks, it's going to happen. Just as sure as you're standing where you're standing, it's going to happen. All the prophecies, the Middle East, the weather, crime, mass murders, these are not normal times. It's going to happen. And what I need you to understand is how close it is. You can't afford to backslide. You can't afford to put your guard down. You can't afford to keep waiting and putting things off. Because Paul said, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, just that quick, no warning, just in a blink of an eye, it's going to happen. It could happen today. If you're not ready, I would take every moment, every breath, every heartbeat, and make it count. Do something today. Don't wait. Because you know what's going to happen, brother. You know what's going to happen. It could be like suddenly. All of a sudden, we're floating in space with white robes on. And as far as you can see, multitudes of saints from all the ages, stars everywhere. Am I dreaming? Is this one of those flashbacks of some of them drugs I used to take? Oh, I hope I'm not dreaming. Oh, my God. Is this real? Suddenly we look up and there's a star. Bright. Gold. And we begin to move. Everybody's moving. Through the atmosphere. Through the stratosphere. Through the ionosphere. We're moving. We're moving. And we're getting closer to that city. Oh, my goodness. I can see the buildings. It's a skyline. It's a golden city. And then we land. Streets of gold. No, No. Not gold like you think. See, that's the best way John could describe it. He didn't know what else to say. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. My Lord, walls of jasper. The pearl gate. Look at the people. There's Elijah. There's Moses. Ruth. Pastor John's. Hey! I made it! Oh my God! And all of a sudden, these two angels appear. And they say, those that are blood washed, enter in the banquet room. We all watch it. We all walk in together. Wow. Tables as far as you can see. And there's a table with a name tag on it. With your name. Oh my God. And you stand there. And you just. I'm so glad. And I did what that preacher told me to do. So glad. Then the angels walk through the crowd, passing out crowns. This is yours. This is yours. You get your crown, jewels all in it. Oh my goodness. And everybody's standing there holding their crowns. Tears streaming down faces. People looking around going, it's real. It's really real. No more headaches. No more cancer. No more hospitals. No more tornadoes. No more diabetes. No more prescription pills. No more funerals. No more death. And then this huge 10-foot angel walks out, shining clothes. And he stands in front of these humongous beautiful doors with golden handles. And where the doors meet, there's a split. You can't see beyond. And then an angel stands there. And he looks at all of us with our crowns. And he says, who among you are worthy to wear the crown? And we all look at each other. There is only one who is worthy. And now, introducing, shoot, a brilliant light comes shining through the cracks. We like, oh my God. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning. And then, the chief cornerstone, the day spring, the everlasting to the everlasting. And the doors begin to open. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the bright and the morning star, the river of life, the living water. Hallelujah. Jesus! It's gonna happen! It's closer than you think! It's gonna happen! It's closer than you think! It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Somebody say Jesus.